Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. Happy ramp up to the Super Bowl. That's where we are in the year. This is it.
Yeah.
It's January, freezing cold most places. The Super Bowl has been set. That's our next thing to look forward to give ourselves some hope, is Super Bowl weekend, which is really just about eating. And that's what we love here on Come to Papa, eating.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good game, too, honestly.
I do, too. I think it's going to be a really good game. I think we're in for a doozy. Before we get into all of it, we have a lot of Super Bowl stuff to talk about. We have some bread stuff to talk about. We have some...
Big
movie stuff to talk about. Lots to get to today. As our leaping off point has... As usual, we'll probably get to one of those subjects and then go off the off-ramp and end up someplace in the woods. But quick stuff, go to tompapa.com and look up the tour dates. Paul and I are heading to Alexandria this weekend and Annapolis. And we've got stuff coming up in New Jersey and Nebraska and L.A. and all over the place. The tour is in full effect. Go check it out. The book is still for sale on Amazon. I just got a thing that was talking about the paperback that's going to be coming out. You can get that on Audible also. Your Dad Stole My Rake and Other
Nice.
Family Dilemmas is still kicking along. I have started the second book.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yep.
You're going to do it again?
I cracked it open.
Ghostwriter?
Yeah, I'm going to hire Stephen King to do this one, and I'm just going to kick back. No, I am. I have begun writing. I am focused. I wouldn't say full into the routine, but the routine is creeping back in.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about it. I'm excited, terrified, and no choice. I signed on the dotted line, so here we go. That's it. Oh, if you subscribe to Patreon, as always, you'll get the additional podcast after this podcast. It's a shorter version. For some reason, we always go deeper into certain stuff. I think because we reboot and it's like, wait, we didn't get to finish talking about that other thing.
Yeah, and we have that video of you prepping the bread up there, too. So if you want to... We get all the questions about how does Tom make his bread, all that stuff. So that was when he was showing me his your kneading technique.
Yes. It was very fascinating watching me.
It's perfect. How do you get it so there's no like lumps or anything? It's just perfectly round. Did that take
a
long time?
I'm a bread baker.
No, but honestly, because when we first went to San Francisco,
yeah,
and we went to Tartine, which is like one of the best places.
The holy land of artisan bread.
We watched those people cut up the dough and then fold it like you did it.
Yeah.
And you were like, holy cow, these people are amazing. And then it felt like you did that with both of yours, like. You're not like doing it as fast, obviously, because you don't want to, but
practice.
Yeah.
Yep. It's just practice. It's like everything else in life. The more you do it, the more you're able to accomplish all the little subtle things. It becomes second nature and then you're able to do it.
But you can't do it unless your dough is perfect.
The dough does not have to be perfect. I don't think there is perfect dough, but in the beginning, like, I was always afraid to use too much water because it would be sticky and it'd be unmanageable and I wouldn't be able to handle it. Now, whatever it is, I'm going to be able to manage it.
When you used to put the bird seed in there or whatever?
Yeah. Remember that? That was a horror show. I was actually very interested, and I want to try later today, actually. I got this recipe for a flatbread.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And it was part of this other recipe for like this weird cauliflower kind of dish. And the side thing was flatbread. But you take whole wheat flour, salt, baking powder, and regular all-purpose flour, and then yogurt, like a half a cup of yogurt.
Hmm.
And you make dough out of that, and you get it into its resting state, and then you take it and put it on a flat pan and smush it down and do it on the top, like do it stovetop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it sounds very Middle Eastern, very crazy.
What's the yogurt do?
I don't know. I guess that's, I don't know. It's a good question.
Because I like yogurt and stuff.
It's makes it a little, I guess flavor is the most thing. I mean, it doesn't really rise that much, but maybe the yogurt has a little yeast that helps it rise a bit. I'm not too sure. But I want to give it a try. I think I might try it tonight. Before I head out.
What will you put on that? Besides just making
anything. I mean, really just olive oil and herbs de Provence or za'atar. Some kind of...
Sitar?
Za'atar.
Oh,
Z-A-T-A-R. It's like a Middle Eastern based off of with a sumac. You know, oh, yeah? Like you ever get poison sumac?
Yeah.
It's a cousin of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It won't taste make good,
your
throat though?
Itchy. Oh, my God. If you go to a Middle Eastern restaurant and they put this spice on stuff,
mm-hmm.
Oh boy, on pita, on these flatbreads,
right.
Olive oil, that herb mixture, it's like three different herbs. And yeah, it'll blow your head off. I went to this place in Dearborn, Michigan, and they were making it for me. And it was so simple and so great. And like this mean guy that was showing me how to make the bread, he was very serious and very gruff, but he was actually nice, but it was his act was to be mean.
Yeah.
And at the end he came with a little, he put the za'atar mixture in my hand in this little secret container.
Uh-huh.
He was like, here for you. Holy cow, so good.
Yeah, I'd rather have that. Remember whenever we go to those places like Middle Eastern places with you, they just give you jars of garlic. It just feels like they just want you to put so much garlic on this stuff.
So good. So I wonder what we'll find in Alexandria and Annapolis. There's got to be a good bakery in Annapolis, I would think.
Well, Alexandria is like old, historic. So they probably should have some kind of old-fashioned food, buy an apple or something.
The Happy Tart, the Lavender Moon Cupcakery, Buzz Bake Shop. We're going to have to do some research. We're going to have to figure it out.
Yeah, Old Town Alexandria, I remember. That's all I remember from it.
So last weekend I was in Connecticut. I had a great live Come to Papa, which will air next week for our friends here. It was a really good show. It was very tight, very funny. It was really good. And then, so I'm in New York for a couple of days, and then I cruise up to Mohegan Sun up in Connecticut, and I do shows there. And the whole time, the blizzard is bearing down on the yes. Northeast, this great big storm, which everybody was freaking out. And I was very concerned because I'm already know that I'm going to be in a casino, trapped for 3 days. If you go to a casino, most of the time you'll do it. In a place like that, you'll do it for like a day.
Yeah.
In a place like Vegas where you're outside at the pool and you're moving around, you'll do it. You could do that for 5 days maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're trapped in this kind of a casino environment where you know you're not getting out, like there's no place, it's winter.
Right.
There's no, you're not, you can't walk anywhere. You're in this crazy casino environment which is created to make you a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So you stay in there and eat and drink and gamble.
Yeah.
That's all they want out of you. And, you know, to go blow off some steam, I'm sure, people who enjoy that kind of a thing, it's a blast. You go in there and you do eat and drink and gamble. And you have a great time and you crawl out of there the next day. When you are sober... watching what you're eating and working, it's a much different experience.
Yeah.
So I'm already concerned. And this storm is bearing down on the Northeast. And I have to fly out at 6 o'clock in the morning from Hartford, which is north of the casino.
Oh, okay. At least you don't have to go back to the city then.
Yeah. But it's north. And the line of where it goes from rain and sleet to driving snow is like right through the airport.
Mm-hmm.
It's between me and the airport.
Right.
So I'm keeping an eye on it. I'm trying not to stress about it, but I'm keeping an eye on it, you know, as the weekend goes on. And the day before, they cancel my flight at 6 a.m. because going to basically the worst part of the storm is going to be midnight until like 10 the next morning. And it's right on top of our heads.
Oh, man.
And then it starts seeming like it's going to be just rainy on us, so you can maybe I'll get out. No, they cancel the flights because I'm going to have to leave. It's going to be one of those that we're going to do this weekend where you're on the road at 4 or 5 to get to the airport.
Oh,
excuse
man.
Excuse my sniffles.
It must be this time of... I just looked on Facebook and it had a memory from when... Remember, we were supposed to do D.C., and you didn't even leave L.A.? They, like, canceled it before you even...
Only snow day of my comedy career.
Yeah, it was, like, the worst storm in D.C. history.
Yeah. And they called, and they're like, Tom, I don't think this is going to happen. This storm is coming in fast.
And you sell, like, tickets, like, everything sold out there.
It was, yeah. We always do well there. It's always a great time, and I'm on the horn, and they're like, you can't come. I don't think this
Isn't
is going to happen. I'm like, what do you mean? And because, you know, we never not go. You always want to go. So, but then as it becomes obvious, like, you're going to have to reschedule this. And Allison, my friend down there, is just like, you know, I know you want to come and we want to do the show, but we're going to be shutting down. I was like, and you never know if it's going to be a real storm or not.
Right.
So we make the call to do it. And then as soon as you do it, you get that little kid feeling of, oh, I have the weekend off. Snow day. I remember coming upstairs and telling my family, good news, I'm staying home.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're not going to be here.
And I linked up. I went to New York like a day early to do like some radio stuff.
Oh, right.
So I was at the Newark like airport hotel, and so I just stayed there for like 2 days, I think, because I couldn't go anywhere.
And you were there for the whole storm, because it did hit.
It
was a massive one.
It hit DC hard.
Right.
It didn't hit New York as hard. So I think I got out of there barely, like a day later. But that was the one where, like, yeah, you don't come. That's the only time that's ever happened.
Yeah, the only time in my entire career. So. This is what's happening now, but it's not about losing out on the gig. It's about getting back home.
Right.
And I'm excited to get home early, and I'm going to bust out super early. There's no direct flights from Connecticut. You got to connect through someplace else, so I'm leaving super early so that I'll land in time for the football playoffs to see the...
The games,
Yeah, to see the games. And I'm very excited about it. It's all going to work out, and then my flight's canceled, and I'm now... have to hustle. I can't get out of that airport, so I do have to go to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a 2.5 hour flight with my opening act, Andy. And we go, and now I'm not going to fly till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I have a full day's journey before my flight even takes off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get home until like 9 at night. I'm going to miss all the games. So frustrated. Long day. Long driving through the rain, getting down there, hanging out, getting on the flight, blah, 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 boring stuff. But I'm on the flight, and you can't stream these games on, I'm on American Airlines, there's no TVs. So I'm following it on ESPN, and they're doing like, you know, like the graphic.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Tom Brady passes, and they show like a dot, 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 incomplete here. But I'm actually able to kind of check in
right
at the end of the game.
At we the end had of the texting, Patriots right?
Game. Huh? Yeah, I'm online. I texted you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went silent because 54 seconds before the end of the game, when the Patriots are making a last minute effort to win the game, the Wi-Fi goes down on the plane.
Oh, man.
That's why my message didn't get through to you. That's why I didn't get to see the end of it. The whole thing was just crapped out.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It was a bummer. But it was one of those, like, all right, what are you going to do? I'm not, maybe the Super Bowl. I'll see that instead.
Yeah.
But they were exciting. So let's talk about this real quick. The Rams beat the Saints.
Right.
On a pass interference call that was so blatant that the whole nation, including the referees, said we got it wrong.
Yeah, they have a petition.
If they had
half a million people signed it.
Did they really?
To like replay the game or something.
To replay the game? Is that what they're calling
it? Yeah, because there's a week off.
Right.
So they could like replay it from that. I don't know if they want to play it from that play or what, but
because if they made the right call, the Saints were in field goal range. They just run the clock all the way down and kick it in.
Yeah.
90% chance that that happens.
And they're in New Orleans, too. That was the craziest thing.
Yeah. So they literally, on what everybody knows, was just a completely botched call. Going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but they, you know, both games went into overtime, and that's more people are like, they need to change the overtime rules.
Right. Why?
Because of it's basically who wins the coin toss wins.
Right.
They changed the rules from you have to outscore, like you both get the ball.
Right.
And so now when the playoffs go to the old-fashioned rule, where it's the first team that scores, like, I mean, the guy kicked a 57-yard field goal.
I know.
It's like as soon as you have the ball, you're in field goal range pretty much. So right. It's kind of unfair.
College, you both get possession. It's kind of complicated.
You keep going, yeah. Well, it changes for the playoffs. So like regular season NFL, now you do both get it. Like you, yeah, that's why it's changed, because now it is really like, and the whole thing is, I don't think the Patriots have ever lost a coin flip.
Oh, really?
Like they're 3-0. They always, every overtime coin flip, they've won. So,
wow.
It's pretty crazy.
It's pretty crazy that it comes down to a coin flip. It's pretty crazy that that's really the odds of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just flip a coin. All this other stuff you think you're controlling and you think you have control over the decisions, it's really just flip a coin and that'll tell you what's going to happen.
I mean, there's so many plays, too. Like, even in the Patriots game, like, people are still arguing whether Edelman, there was, like, a punt, and it, like, went right over his fingers.
Right.
And people still think that he touched it. And the initial call was that he touched it, and then they overturned it, even though there wasn't really concrete. There was so many calls. But then they kept going back and forth anyway. So it was pretty much who had the ball last, you know?
This is the problem with having all this video evidence and these amazing cameras and being able to see it from every angle. It's like, it's more precise than ever before, but still not precise enough.
And they still don't get it right.
Yeah. So it's almost like maybe you shouldn't have replay at all.
It
is weird that you can't do replay in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, with basketball, there's like, they did a thing where the guy was like standing out of bounds and threw it to another guy. It was like the most obvious call ever, and they just didn't call it, and it's not reviewable. It's just...
Right.
So it's like, if you can't review that, then why even have it, you know? Like,
yeah, everyone, exactly. Why not? Why are you stopping there? I guess they don't want to stop every 2 seconds, but...
Yeah,
for something that big.
Flow of the game's important, but most people just want to get it right, you know? So like,
there should be a nuclear option. Like when it's so blatant and it's going to come down to being so crucial that maybe the NFL office that's looking at it
can
call the nuclear option.
Yeah.
I mean, 90% chance it's the Saints that are going to the Super Bowl at that point.
It's so tough though, because it's like, you know, and you know from playing football, it's like every play you could call a pass interference probably.
Right.
And every play that someone touches the quarterback, it could be roughing the quarterback. So it's like...
And it's also hard. It's kind of like when the, what's his name, Bartnick for the during the Cubs game.
Yeah.
The fan who reached and interfered, and everybody came down, the whole world came down and crushed this guy and said he was the reason that they aren't going to the World Series and all that. The same thing with this. You have this moment that's happening late in the game, and it seems like it's the most crucial thing. But there were a lot of things leading up to it that could have gone either way that would have changed the destiny of that moment.
Right.
So, you know, when it all comes down to it, it's just sports, and you just got to roll with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's even more amazing, you know, because the Patriots thing, too, was they scored so quickly. It was almost like the Chiefs were going to do, like, a goal line stand, and then basically, like, the Patriots just scored so fast that, like, they got the ball back. And so that would have been, you know, like, if the Chiefs really wanted to win, they could have stopped them there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, they were great games, though, especially for LA to have a team go back to the Super Bowl now.
It's pretty exciting. So we've got to root for LA, right?
Yeah, of course. Nobody roots for Brady anyway.
I have that thing, though, with Brady being we beat them twice in the Super Bowl. They're kind of like, you know, they're cute. They can win. I don't care. I don't hate them as much as if we had lost, for sure. They don't bother me like they bother the rest of the country.
I just don't like when they always seem to get the breaks. You know what I mean? It's like the luckiest team ever.
Yeah, but they're also super dialed in. I mean, they're really just dialed in. It's kind of like why people hate the Yankees.
Yeah.
The organization is built to win, and they know what they're doing, and they have a formula, and they just, you know. Look, as much as I know, I know I'm just hearing Aaron Foley screaming in my face as I say it, but Tom Brady is the real deal, and he's 41 years old going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
His whole diet, like, all year is focused on this. It's like he's so completely dialed in. This is a guy that works crazy, crazy hard. You know, it's easy to not like those people. It's easy to hate on Gwyneth Paltrow. But the reality is, it's not just luck. These guys really work their asses off.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing that, you know.
And work their ass off the right way. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Well, he doesn't do anything he can't do, you know? He's not running around,
right,
diving or, you know, trying to do all these athletic plays. It's just very methodic, you know?
And look, I'm sure it's shaded a little bit because I became friendly with Matt Damon. and he loves him more than anyone else in the world. I'm sure that has affected me to some degree. I'll admit it. But it's more because we beat them twice in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We beat them twice.
It's great.
Like the only people that ever beat them.
That's what I did, is watch the highlights. I still have that full game, especially the second one. I watch it like every year.
Oh,
the Giants aren't in the Super Bowl.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, look, it's all basically about the food for us, because our Giants are the worst team in the NFL, the worst team. So, you know, we can kind of adopt LA and root for them. It'll be fun to do it.
Yeah, are we going to be, we're home, right?
We're home. What are we going to do?
When is it? Next? It's not this Sunday, but next.
A week from Sunday.
So it's February 4th.
I usually go heavy chicken. I usually go either fried chicken or wings.
Yeah.
And then get some nachos in there as well.
Yeah, wings are a good Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's usually my go-to.
Flatbread now.
And maybe some sweet, sweet flatbread. Yeah, it's really, we should think long and hard about what we're going to eat on the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And your favorite snack food is Cheez-Its.
That's when I'm traveling. If I'm in an airport and looking for something to make me feel less sad, I grab Cheez-Its. I'm in a connecting flight. I'm in the weird spot. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I'm not thinking clearly.
Yeah.
Cheez-Its.
Oh, man.
that should be their slogan.
I went when Goldfish you're not thinking, a little bit.
Goldfish?
Once in a while.
Those are good if you want to feel like you're like a in grade school.
Well, the thing that's worse is like I did Twizzlers for a while, and all that stuff makes you feel terrible.
Terrible.
Like Swedish Fish and Twizzlers, like any of those gummy things.
I do love Swedish Fish, though.
Yeah, I get that was my thing for a while, and then I started doing those pretzel M&Ms.
Those are pretty good.
And they're so good that like you can't even have them around. They have these like big bowls. They're like a half a pound, and you can just whip right through
them.
Who does? They sell them that way.
Like in a big bowl?
Yeah, like a big, like, you're supposed to put a popcorn in it now. Like, that's their whole thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everything's mixed together. I don't know if you noticed.
What do you mean?
The way like, a trail mix will be, like, it'll be Mounds and Reese's or, you know, same thing with cereal. They put, like, 9 different cereals together now. That's the way they do things.
So they're taking the thing that people do at the movie theater, throwing some candy in, and they're marketing themselves?
Right.
Gotcha. Oh, look. Here comes the...
Oh, by the way,
gardeners.
Movie-wise, let me just say, your original take, best movie I've seen this year, Free Solo.
Ah, look at you.
That
Finally.
Was crazy.
How great was that?
Well, it came back in the theaters. You saw it, I think, when it was like premiering or something.
I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, it's back like in the theaters now.
Because it's nominated for the best documentary.
Yeah, doing so well.
Right. It is. How great was it?
Yeah, it was nuts, man. It's like...
Alex Hanhold?
Hanadol?
The guy that climbs the biggest, scariest rock faces in the world with no ropes.
Yeah, which is the dumbest thing... Is that your blues track?
Okay, but here's the question. Didn't my early review of it, it was about a guy who free solos. But more than that, it was whether or not you could achieve great things while having an annoying girlfriend.
Yeah, that is true, too. You told me that because that's the only thing
Wasn't
I knew.
It true?
I tried not to read anything about it, and I'm not going to spoil it, but it was like you said that the time that he fell is her fault.
Yeah.
He fell twice because of her.
Yes.
And he never fell before in his life.
Never. And then he falls in love, and you bring your girlfriend along, and he's sliding down the mountain.
You want to know what I thought about the most? Was this guy, basically this guy is like not even housebroken. Like he lived in a van. He was like the guy that went to Alaska and lived in that van. That's what this guy,
yeah.
They show him brushing his teeth at rest stops, and he's just like, he's kind of like a genius, like Asperger-y kind of genius. Like he just,
yes,
he knows how to climb rocks, but he doesn't really know how to talk to people or
yeah.
show emotion or
any, feel emotion
yeah.
or feel fear.
And he even
which
says
is why
that.
He can
yeah.
do it.
Yeah. He even says he can just turn stuff off.
Yeah.
So hug your kids, everybody. That's all.
No, we... Or don't, so they can achieve great things.
But, it was... the first half of the movie, I'm just fighting with myself. Like, this is so stupid. Like, why is this guy doing this?
Yeah.
He's climbing mountains with no safety things.
The biggest ones.
And it does seem like a death wish. It like
yeah.
he didn't have anything to, which I totally, like that made more sense than, no, I have money and I'm working for these charities, but I still love doing this. And it's just like, it didn't make sense to me. It really bothers me.
It's still.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out if it's the dumbest thing I've seen or if it's like amazing. 'Cause
it's amazing.
It is amazing.
But you got to be fearless and he's fearless.
But is he fearless because he thinks he's the best climber in the world, or is he fearless because he's got nothing to live for and he's not worried about dying?
He doesn't know. It can't be that, or else he'd be dead. Because there's a lot of people that did it and have fallen and died.
Yeah, they all die.
A long list, except that one guy who's in the movie.
Right.
Who is kind of criticizing him for having a camera crew following him around. And he knows.
Yeah.
He's an older guy. He's like in his 50s or 60s. Right. And he's like, he knows what it takes and what kind of focus and whether or not you're doing it for the right reason.
Yeah.
And when he saw him with a camera crew, he suspected that this was the wrong reason.
Yeah, and it wasn't his idea. That's what he definitely felt like.
Yeah.
He felt like stepping in and be like, hey, you don't want those guys around, do you?
Yeah.
That's what it made
right.
it seem like.
Yeah, exactly. And that guy still climbs solo without ropes.
Oh, yeah.
But he's smart. Like, he doesn't want to die. He knows that the odds are against you. And he has dialed it back. This is the older guy.
Right.
But there's just that rush of being able to do it. And they feel something that nobody else gets to feel, you know, when you do that.
Well, no, you can feel it. You can go outside, hang outside your building and feel how stupid that is to not.
No, but when you watch him in the like most difficult parts of that climb and he nails it.
Yeah.
You know, that's only something that only he has been able to achieve and feel and,
right.
You know, that's, it's other level.
But it's such a finite, like, you know, they showed all those guys that died doing it.
Yeah.
And the one guy's like 51, and it just reminded me of that, you know, that Norm Macdonald joke about the crocodile hunter, you know, because he was like in his 50s.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it's sad he died, but it's pretty old for a crocodile hunter, don't you think? He's like, it's like 51, you're really pushing your luck climbing mountains with no ropes.
Yeah. I think it's great. I think it's just his purpose.
Yeah.
It's not about that. That's what drove me crazy too with the girlfriend. She's giving him all these other things that he's all of a sudden thinking that he's supposed to have to do.
Right.
Like get an apartment and talk about a wedding.
He was eating with a spatula, Tom.
Yeah.
He was like, he didn't even have a utensil.
He lived in a van. He didn't have room. It was just like bare minimum. I just climb. And yeah. Eating means I just put eggs in a pan and I just eat it with this. Why would I have a spatula and a fork? I can eat off the spatula.
Right.
Focus. Dialed in.
There's no social graces. This guy is just
all in, which is what you have to be, which is literally what you have to be able to pull that off. And then this girlfriend walks in and is like, were you going to tell me you were climbing today? I was like, oh, she's going to kill him.
Yeah, it's
But the other part of it is she saving his life? Because he achieved it despite her numbskullery.
Right.
Will he find other things in his life that you want him to find, which he didn't have before, and get a fork and a girlfriend and a bed and a place in Las Vegas? And will all those other things fill up his life and balance it out to the point where he realizes, I now have something to lose?
Yeah.
And then I'll end his climbing career.
Or it's not, you're not allowed to. I mean, it's with anything. Is boxers like Manny Pacquiao just fought? He's 40 years old, and he gets $100 million to fight.
Yeah,
and so he was homeless at 12 because his parents had too many kids, and the oldest one had to start working. So he slept on the street, just made money fighting like as a homeless kid.
Yeah.
So to him at 40. With a mansion and all this stuff to fight for $100 million, there's no pressure on him at all. The pressure was when he was homeless and fighting for a dollar, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the thing is, like, now that you've achieved all this stuff, you can't have the hunger that you had when you were just trying to get a foot, you know?
Yeah. So, and what are you saying? So that because he doesn't have the hunger that he's going to fall?
Well, I think...
Or he just won't do it.
Yeah, I think...
He'll settle and...
He's accomplished all this stuff, and he really didn't have another goal other than that anyway, remember?
Right.
He was, like, kind of searching for whether...
Yeah.
I don't even know if I really want to do this.
You ever see... Do you see his fingers?
Yeah.
He has what what is your biceps on the edge of his hands? His fingers are as big as your biceps.
Yeah.
They're like these mallets. Each finger is a mallet.
Well, the crazy thing is, like, my brother's a surgeon. So, like, anything he does in regular life.
Right.
Like, if he slams his finger in the car door.
Yeah.
Somebody's cancer isn't getting operated on that day.
Right.
So, it's like, with him, even if he gets a hangnail and pulls it too hard.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, that is life and death. There's no margin for error.
So great.
I don't know. It just seems, even
so
if
so by the end of it, were you relieved that he did it?
Well, yes, because it seemed to be like his day. You know what I mean? Like it was like watching a guy score 100 points in basketball. He just,
totally.
Everything was on, everything. But that's the whole thing. There is no margin for error. Like, it's kind of like golf. Like, people try to perfect golf, and it's not perfectible. Even the best players in the world hit it into the water or have an off night. So this guy, that's all you think about is, like, he's just going up this crack. What if the mountain cracks or a bird flies out of there?
Yeah.
Then you're dead. That has nothing to do.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
That has nothing to do with how good a climber you are. It's just bad luck.
So great.
So that's the thing. It's like, it's the most nervous, like, that was scarier than any horror movie that I've seen, because it's just, you're just there with him, and you know that all these camera guys, because they kind of brought you into the filmmaking part of you don't want a guy distracting him. You don't want a drone hitting him in the head or him looking back.
Yeah. No, I mean, when you're dialed down to that point where nothing can go wrong, absolutely not one little thing can go wrong.
For 4 hours.
Yeah.
Every time you move, it has to be the exact right spot.
And you thought comedy was hard. Okay, so best picture nominees. Black Panther. Mm-hmm. Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, which won the Golden Globe.
Yeah.
The Favorite, which my wife says is her favorite.
With a U.
Green Book, Roma, A Star is Born, and Vice. That's way too many.
Yeah.
I don't like this new way they do
it. I haven't seen Roma or The Favorite or Black Klansman.
I haven't seen Black Klansman, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, Star is Born, or Vice.
Oh, really?
I've only seen Black Panther and Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah. They both seem like popcorn movies to me.
Yep.
I think, like, for Best Picture, I think, like, Green Book, Black Klansman, even though I didn't
see
it.
Did you see The Favorite?
No. I don't like the way they spell it.
Yeah, my wife was just saying this last night that she saw it and thought it was great.
She didn't see Roma?
No. I tried watching Roma and I couldn't get through after 10 minutes. I was like,
I don't know.
I was a little distracted, so I guess I was not giving it its due, but I'll give it another try, I guess.
You know what I did see? That's also fascinating. Is I saw not one, but two of the Fyre Festival documentaries.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's two?
It's amazing. Yeah. it's the coolest thing ever, because the Netflix one, the PR company makes it, and then the Hulu one, the guy that actually is in trouble makes it. The guy that's... he's going to jail.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's like, and you have a whole group of people. It's fascinating. It's the biggest statement on this generation that I've ever seen. It is like, all they did was take pictures of this island and supermodels and all this kind of stuff, and made everyone think that they could go to this thing, and there's nothing there. They had tents.
So funny.
They had no bands showed up.
Didn't someone sue and get like millions of dollars?
$100 million, yeah. The guy, he was basically like, you know, he basically borrowed onto like, he had some like BS credit card thing that was supposed to be for like everyone's VIP. Like you can get VIP passes to Beyonce or whatever. Like all these like kind of made up experiences.
It's so crazy.
And the whole thing was based on that. The guy, he got people to give him money. And it was all fraud. Like, this guy is the biggest...
Isn't it amazing? I love guys like this.
He's so full of crap. You gotta see him.
I love guys like this. But you know what? There's a fine line between a guy like that, that just pulls stuff out of his ass and gets people to give him millions of dollars, and people that build skyscrapers.
But he's a con man. He's a con man from the 1800s.
Yeah. But they kind of all are. And, like, there's a fine line. It's just like you kind of... Like, the... I can't believe the balls of people who can live with millions of dollars in debt.
Yeah.
Like, if your electric bill is late,
right,
you're, like, freaking out and nervous and, right? I mean, it ruins your life.
Right.
If you're behind in payments, whatever. And these guys can just roll with, like, millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Just trying to get buildings made and who cares and...
But it's rich people playing on rich people, because that's the play is like, well, you got money, right? You're right. Not poor. And then they're all trying to convince each other that they're not broke, but they all are. It was the Madoff thing. Totally.
It's so funny.
100%. And the thing that's crazy, you know, the same thing that it bothers them about Trump is this guy still will not admit when he's lying about something. He just won't do it. And
it's kind of like your guy climbing the mountain. It's like there's like a part of their brain that doesn't feel what other people feel.
You just want to hear him say, yeah, it's scary up there. I probably shouldn't do this.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But he's not going to say
it. But he can't. And it's not because he can't. It's not that he won't. It's that he can't. There's no part of his brain that acknowledges that.
Right.
Same thing with this guy.
Yeah, right? He almost got killed. Like they just left the island. Like the one thing was, there was a lady who paid all the island people that worked for like 2 months on this, like $100,000, and they raised all the money to pay her back from it already. That's how much like people felt sorry for everyone else that got duped by this guy.
Funny.
And he went to prison for 6 years.
He did?
He's in prison right now. And he still had like some hot Russian model girlfriend that was like, I don't think he was trying to do something good. And, you know, it's just all, you got to see it. It's fascinating.
He's 27 years old.
Yeah.
So you just come out of, I know. It's a complete disaster. It's a horrible thing. All these people got duped, whatever. First of all, I don't have that much sympathy when people like that get duped. It's like, so you're buying into this luxury kind of weekend, we're better than everyone else thing, and you get like there's a little part of me that feels joy.
Well, it's the thing of like the guy was saying, he's like, it's like people who want to be in business, but they don't do anything. It's just they want to say that they're in business doing something.
Yeah.
And nothing exists. It's like the guy was selling like VIP passes to like Hamilton or something. And then just buying them off StubHub and giving them to people. And then it's just like the whole thing was a scam. He just wanted everyone to think that he was rich and famous.
Yeah. Oh, it's so sweet.
And they got like Ja Rule or something like that. He convinced like one guy.
He comes from New Jersey.
But the other guy was...
He was in Short Hills, New Jersey.
The other guy was... he was like the big... shale... what's the oil guy?
Shields and Yarnells?
Yeah, Chesapeake Oil was like this big thing. And apparently he was like, that guy gave him like $500,000. And that's what got the fire festival guy going.
Uh-huh.
And that guy ended up like dying under sketchy circumstances because he ended up being a liar. He embezzled like millions and millions of dollars.
And someone killed him? There was foul play?
I don't know. They just said that his car burned up. They didn't say, but the guy was going to jail for a long time, definitely.
So this guy's 27 years old, grew up in New Jersey. His parents were real estate developers. So not far from what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You live in this environment of these people just living well beyond their means and just BSing everybody. And
right.
That's how they live. That's how they roll.
That's so great.
But it's one thing to have, like, ideas. Like, the whole theme of this is, like, they just want you to join a club for, like, no reason. Like, it's not, like,
yeah.
We all want to think we're better than everyone else, but we don't really do anything. It's kind of like, it's like any kind of fraternity or anything that you would join for.
Yeah.
Wait, you're going to run naked around a track to join this club so people will call you their friends officially for no reason, you know? It's just...
Oh, it's so sweet.
You gotta see it, though. It's fascinating. It's fascinating that all these guys spent thousands of dollars. They're supposed to get, like, a private jet, and they're just on this, like, crappy plane. And then they get there, and they're supposed to have, like, these villas, and it's just, like, tents. And it rained, like, the night before, so it's just, like, just tents.
Mud.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. So there's one on Netflix, and there's another one? Or they're both on
Netflix? The one on Netflix is, like, all the rest of the people trying to blame this guy.
Oh, okay.
And then the Hulu one actually has an interview with this guy before he goes to jail. And so he's kind of, like, trying to... He's still trying to explain himself. Like, I didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, he's talking about how he had, like, $10 million worth of Facebook stock, and he had, like, $1,000 or, like, $1,500. It's just, like, everything he said was a lie. And he just couldn't... He couldn't help himself. And they even stopped the filming. The guy's like, so do you feel like you have a compulsion to not tell the truth? And he's like, name one thing that I lied about. And then they just go through like 90.
Oh, I love it.
You know, remember so, hearing about it, right?
It really, oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it's so funny how, I mean, since the beginning of time, like watching a Charlie Chaplin movie, you watch this little tramp just kicking the rich guy in the ass, having mm-hmm. him fall down a manhole cover in a manhole. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's since the beginning of time, it's the same thing of like the people that have who are all phony and full of it, and the person who doesn't have who has some heart and soul.
Yeah.
I mean, that storyline always exists and is always satisfying. You're always overjoyed when the rich guy is exposed and the rich go down.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a joyful thing.
Especially when it's just to like that's what they were talking about. I was like, they shot this commercial, so they just flew like 10 models in there to like drink and ride jet skis. So all the promotion was like this island, this boat, all this stuff that never really existed. It was just like shot in this thing. So people, it's just like Instagram. It's like, that's not anyone's real life.
Right.
It's fake.
I know. Why aren't we taking more advantage of that? Why are we being truthful with our Instagram accounts? Why aren't we lying more?
Because everyone wants people to think that they're doing better than they are. Nobody has like a break. Like, there's certain people that have like Twitter breakdowns, but I haven't seen anybody on Instagram have like a... I guess that people post once in a while.
I'm saying, like, why are we just documenting our normal, boring lives and putting them up there? Like, you could create the thing that you are training for SpaceX.
Right.
You and your supermodel girlfriend. Like, you could create that reality.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to create, you can create mm-hmm. and put out there. Why are we being honest?
Why are we being honest?
Yes.
Well,
I want to go to your Instagram and see some crazy shit. Why am I looking at you with your sneakers?
Because we don't we always say whenever we're going to hire someone, we just look at their last four Instagram posts and you can tell how crazy they are.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Bob Dylan wasn't a hobo living off the rails. He was in a suburban place in Minnesota, but he created this mythology of right. what he was.
Well, there's mystique to it.
Yes. So let's create some mystique is what I'm saying.
What do you mean? Like, don't tell people where our shows are?
There was a band that Wolfpack, who was on Live From Here a couple weeks ago, they became really popular. They're super talented, but they also only do like 4 concerts a year.
Oh, yeah?
So everybody's nuts to see them.
Yeah.
What if we do that?
Or you're like Sade. She's like mysterious too.
Yeah. We're out there too much.
Yeah, you need to be like Daniel Day-Lewis.
Every weekend we're out there bringing joy to people where we should be canceling everything.
I told you, David
Sedaris. Like your guy Morrissey.
Yeah. Well,
you never know if he's really going to show up at the show or not.
Right.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So, Alexandria.
We might be there.
We might not.
That's true.
I'm a little nasally.
You got to get a loyal fan base first.
Papa and Morrissey, they just, you know, they have these shows and stuff, but you never know what kind of mood they're going to be in.
We looked at their Instagram. They're in Iceland somewhere.
And Paul's with a supermodel. All right, we got to go. For our Patreon subscribers, we will post your bonus episode right after this. For everyone else that listened, I'm using my NPR voice through my nasal. I haven't had a drink the entire podcast timber. We would like you to go to tompapa.com, and Paul has a website.com, and look for our tour dates. We'll be in Alexandria and Annapolis this weekend, taking off for the Super Bowl weekend, where I will be performing in L.A. for the Live From Here broadcast at the Wiltern in Los Angeles, California.
And this is Fresh Air.
And this has been Come to Papa. Enjoy your life.